Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear from our Minnesota National Guard soldiers deployed to Egypt, and we'll meet a gentleman who turned a woodworking hobby into an annual toy mission for children. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Happy birthday to the National Guard. The National Guard traces its origins to the militias of the 13 original English colonies in North America. The oldest units were organized on December 13, 1636, in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. The Founding Fathers recognized the importance of the militia by writing it into the U.S. Constitution. They divided power over the militia between the individual states and the federal government. This dual state-federal organization still characterizes the National Guard today. Throughout our history, the Guard has often been an invisible force among you and the community. We could be sitting in the office next to you, or the mechanic fixing your car. Maybe we are the farmer in a distant field, or a police officer directing traffic. Yet make no mistake, when a domestic crisis hits or the call to arms is declared, the National Guard transforms, emerging from the general population to serve as citizen soldiers and airmen. On behalf of the nearly 14,000 men and women of your Minnesota National Guard, it's an honor to serve our state and nation.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. More than 40 soldiers of the 204th Area Support Medical Company of the Minnesota National Guard left for training on September 14th for a nine-month deployment in support of the Multinational Force and Observers, MFO, in Sinai, Egypt. The MFO consists of 14 different countries: Australia, Canada, Colombia, Czech Republic, Fiji, France, Hungary, Italy, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, the United Kingdom, Uruguay, and the United States. Their mission for the 204th Area Support Medical Company will be to provide health service support, echelon level 2 medical care, and health protection measures in support of the MFO in order to maintain the strength of our force. And calling in and joining us today all the way from Egypt is Captain Jonathan Vang, who is the company commander of the Minnesota National Guard's 204th Area Support Medical Company. Captain Vang, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Captain, can you tell us how long have you been in the military?
Well, personally, I've been in for a little over 10 years. Some of my time has spent ROTC, too, though, but initially enlisted in 2003 and been in ever since.
And, Captain, did you imagine when you first signed up that on one day you'd be leading 40-some soldiers for the Minnesota National Guard on a deployment to Egypt?
No, I didn't.
And Captain, I know you, I think you left in September for some training. How long was your training? Where did you go, and when did you arrive in Egypt?
So our training was in Fort Dix, New Jersey, and it was about 30 days over there. And we just were doing just basic soldiering kind of skills. We did some mass casualty exercises and different things to just make sure that we're ready for this mission over here. We ended up in Egypt around mid-October.
And can you tell us what's it like in the Sinai? What's the weather like? What are the conditions like?
Well, it's surprisingly rained quite a few times. So we're at two different bases. There's a north camp and a south camp. We've got roughly about 40 soldiers, or 30 to 40 in north, and then 18 in south camp. So the weather in north camp is it's getting chillier. I've actually turned on my heat this past weekend, so it's definitely getting chillier, but chillier is a relative term, so it's about 50 degrees. I know it's a lot colder over there, but down here at South Camp, it gets around 70 degrees and stuff, so it's still rather warm at South Camp, South Sinai.
And, Captain, can you tell us how many service members are involved in the multinational force?
Total? I'm not privy to that information, but I'd say there's roughly 2,000 probably.
And is it your mission to provide health service support for all of them?
Yes, it is. So we provide health service support for the 14 different nations. The other nations, they do provide some doctors, too, depending on how big their units are. But our primary mission is to provide the health service support, but we also provide the preventive medicine and also food inspection.
We're speaking with Captain Jonathan Vang, the company commander of the 204th Area Support Medical Company from the Sinai, Egypt, on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, the time difference is, what is it, about 6 hours?
It is 8 hours. It's 9:08 right now.
Okay. And you indicated that you've got about 43 soldiers with you. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. But we're augmented with some active duty soldiers, too, and medical providers.
And what type of specialties are under your command? Are they all health people?
Primarily, they're all health people. So the majority of us are medics. And then we've also got some X-ray techs, and we've got lab technicians. We've got patient administration, supply. We've got a veterinary section and preventive medicine section. We also supply all the MSO with medical logistics as well.
Well, Captain, it's my understanding that we've had forces in the Sinai for some time on this mission, so you must have fell in on another command that was providing these type of support services?
Yes, we did. We fell in, and the team before us did an amazing job of training us up before they headed out. And, yeah, it's the mission's been going on for quite some time, so every year it keeps improving and improving. So we're just fortunate enough to be a part of this team that, they've done such a good job of taking care of the facilities.
Now, Captain, are there anything special health concerns in that region or in that part of the Sinai?
No, nothing that we've run across. Mostly the majority of the injuries we see are sports injuries, sports types of injuries, whether it's from doing physical fitness or playing some kind of sports.
So there's no bugs, no other types of flu or other things that you have to worry about over there?
No, not that we're seeing.
Okay, and then of your 43 soldiers, how's the morale?
I'd say the morale's pretty high. The leaders are doing a great job making sure that the soldiers are engaged and have things to do. Also, over here in the MFO, they like to do a lot of different events. Some of the recent ones we've done is a Norwegian ruck march, which is like an 18-mile ruck march with 25 pounds, and there's a certain time frame that you have to do it in. So our soldiers that did it, they had to do it in 4 hours and 30 minutes. So 25 pounds, just rucking it. We've also got some 5Ks and different memorial services that they can attend to. So try to keep them busy and give them things to occupy their time, especially during this time of the year.
Captain, I think if I went on that ruck march, it'd take all your 43 people to pull me through. sounds like that'd be a little heavy for us old guys.
Yeah.
So, Captain, how's the connectivity? Is everybody able to get in contact with their folks back home?
Yeah, the Internet's reliable. Sometimes it's not the quickest, but, it's enough to check your email daily. So we're definitely fortunate to have the connectivity that we do.
And the facilities, are they pretty good?
The facilities are great, too. Everyone's got their own room, so there are no complaints over here compared to other deployments where you're sharing tents with like 8 other people. So no complaints.
That sounds like everybody's pretty well taken care of. How's the chow, Captain?
Yes. I'm sorry, say again?
How's the chow?
The chow is great, too. I have no complaints. I can always go in there and find something to eat. The great thing about it is because there are 14 different contingents, you get to try foods from different areas of the world, too, that the cooks try to make sure that there's something for everyone.
So you're seeing
but
quite
every day you can get a burger, every day you can get fries and pizza, so no complaints.
So a burger and fries is what you need to complete that ruck march. Is that what you're telling me, Captain?
Yeah, that's right. Get those calories.
Well, you got to load up if you're going to go that far and that heavy. Captain, we're going to have to take a short break. When I come back, I'm going to ask you about your interaction with some of these other forces that are there. And we're speaking with Captain Jonathan Vang, the company commander of the 204th Area Support Medical Company, who is currently deployed to Sinai, Egypt for the Minnesota National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by Captain Jonathan Vang, who is the commander of the 204th Area Support Medical Company of the Minnesota National Guard, currently deployed to Sinai, Egypt. And, Captain, can we cover once again, you're over in the Sinai, you've got 43 soldiers with you, about 16 or so, I think, are female. And can you tell us, once again, your mission over there?
Well, our mission is primarily to provide Level 2 health service support to all the MSO. And so I guess an easy way to describe it is we've got kind of the services of a small-town hospital. We've got X-ray. If we need to do some labs, we can do some basic labs. We've got some dental capabilities and just emergency kind of support.
And, Captain, as we said in the first segment, this is in support of the multinational force and observers in Sinai, Egypt, which is made up of troops from 14 different countries. Now, Captain, right. when your people interact with them, how's the communications going?
Yeah, it can be difficult. Primarily, though, most of the people speak English, or they can get by with understanding and communicating with minimal English. But it can be an issue. Some of our soldiers have to deal with them whenever they do inspections and different things like that. So you deal with them on a daily basis. When it comes to health services and support, if they have a large number of soldiers, then they provide their own doctors. So we don't necessarily have to deal with that translation. But in the event of emergencies, we do. And when our soldiers do their inspections of the outpost, they'll go. Some of our missions include inspecting the outpost where they're primarily Colombian soldiers. So we'll definitely bring somebody that speaks Spanish to those kind of missions.
So when you inspect an outpost, what is that all about, sir?
So inspecting the outpost includes things like checking the sanitation, making sure their water is safe for consumption, making sure that the outpost are storing food properly, and just making sure that there are any problems with pests, whether that's mice or mosquitoes or flies, things of that nature.
So you're ensuring that the basic conditions are good for all of the troops and that they don't accidentally poison themselves or hurt themselves with bad food.
Yeah, it's a preventative measure. We don't want everyone getting sick and then giving us more business. Business for us isn't necessarily good.
So when some of those folks do come to see you, it sounds like that's kind of a basic sick call, maybe a twisted ankle or headaches or cold or flu, those type of things?
Yes, it is. So basically, it's just like what you said. There's gastrointestinal. They'll have issues with stomach aches or fever, just basic sick call kind of things. And then here and there, we'll get the sprained ankles and the sports injuries and stuff like that, too.
So, Captain, do you have good access to, like, bottled water to make sure that that they're drinking good potable water?
We do. All of our water that we consume is bottled water. So it's great that it's readily accessible and anyone can just go to different buildings and just pick up bottles of water.
And you're in the Sinai, and I understand there's in that area about 2.5 million people. How's the reaction to the force from the general population?
Well, we don't see that a lot. We pretty much primarily keep to ourselves. We're not allowed off the post. The only teams that we send off the post are the preventative medicine teams that go out and do the site inspections. The different outposts, their role is to observe and verify the terms of the treaty. And so we've got soldiers from different contingents, Fiji, Colombian, and then the U.S. contingents that are out the outposts and just making sure that, you know, if they see any kind of tanks or aircraft, that they report it, observe it. But our role primarily in that is just supporting those outposts. But from my understanding, we haven't had any problems with any of the local nationals.
Well, that's terrific. We're speaking with Captain Jonathan Vang, the company commander of the 204th Area Support Medical Company from the Minnesota National Guard, which is currently deployed to Sinai, Egypt on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, what's the duration of this deployment? How long do you expect to be there?
We expect to be here until about mid-July. That's a 9-month kind of mission.
And Do you in that area of the world, are there different seasons? Does it get real hot?
It does get really hot. So when we initially got here in October, it was AC on all the time, and I can't imagine what it's going to be like come summer. But here in South Camp too, it does get a lot more warm right next to the Red Sea.
It makes that good bottled water all that more important, doesn't it, sir?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I'm sure we'll see a lot more dehydration kind of injuries when that time comes.
So you're expecting or hoping to rotate out of there in July. Have your soldiers and their families been in contact with the Yellow Ribbon networks back here in Minnesota?
Yes, they have. And the Yellow Ribbon network has just been super supportive and making sure that before we left that we were equipped and being in contact with us to make sure that whenever we come back, they're ready for us.
And, of course, before you went through some training to go out, and the families went through some training as well to make sure that if they had any issues or needed any help, they knew who to contact. Is that true?
Yes, you're right. We had a family prep academy where all the families were invited to attend and just go over how to get used to their soldiers being gone, how to communicate with them effectively, and just making sure that while their soldier is gone, things can continue at home. And then when we come back, before we come back, they're going to have a similar program where the families are going to come back together and talk about the reintegration process and just primarily a lot of communication, how to communicate and deal with, the different things that we've gone through.
And, Captain, do you know, out of your 43 soldiers, are there some of them that are going to come home to no jobs? Are there some, did you say there were some of them were students?
Yes, so we do have some students that are planning on going back and just jumping right into schools. I'm sure we probably have a few soldiers that are going to be looking for jobs. But my experience from past two deployments is that the Guard takes a good care of us, making sure that we have the resources we need, that if we're looking for jobs that we can find them and we can apply for them.
And then I'm sure you're aware, sir, when you come back, you and all your soldiers go through a rigorous reintegration program as well.
Yes, we do.
And what all is involved in that, Captain?
So typically what's involved in that is just making sure that we're healthy, first of all, not just physically but mentally, and then just making sure that we're aware of the different benefits that are allotted to us. And then there's the job portion. If we need a job or we're looking for a job, they help with that. And so it's just a transitional assistance.
And then the standard 30, 60, 90-day reintegration program as well.
Yes.
So, Captain, we've just got about a minute left. It sounds like you and your soldiers are well-housed and well-fed, and you've got plenty of water and pretty good deployment so far.
Yes, no complaints over here. Got good food, got our own rooms, got Internet, no complaints.
Captain, just about 30 seconds left. Any message for our listeners?
Just that we really appreciate everyone's support. We've gotten multiple care packages, a lot of care packages. All the soldiers have been getting a lot of love and support from all their loved ones, so we just really appreciate all the love and support that everyone's giving us.
Captain, I want to thank you for staying up late to join us today, and I hope the rest of your mission goes as smooth as it's gone so far and that everyone comes home safe.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
That was Captain Jonathan Vang, the commander of the 204th Area Support Medical Company, certain of the Minnesota National Guard, currently deployed to Sinai, Egypt. In a moment, we'll be back with a gentleman who turned a woodworking hobby into an annual toy mission for children. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about an organization called TLCtoys.org. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
There are many veterans in Minnesota who say, "I'm okay, take care of my buddies first." We instinctively, as veterans, watch out for our fellow comrades. But now I encourage you to take it a step further and watch out for yourself as well. I would ask each of you to review your own personal situation and take the time to visit with your county veteran service officer to find out what benefits you may have available for you now and the benefits that may be available to your family should something happen to you. To learn more about the benefits you are entitled to, visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalitol. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. It's my pleasure to have a guest in the studio today who turned a woodworking hobby into an annual toy mission for children. Mel Hartman, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
I'm proud to be here.
Mel, I want to go back a few years. You told me that you were in the Army National Guard.
Way back a long time ago. I spent 14 years in Missouri in the National Guard and went to OCS school, went past the General's Review Board, passed, and then they wanted 6 more years. I just wanted the gold bar. And I said no, and just about the same time I got transferred to Minnesota, so that career came to an end.
And you ended up as a senior NCO.
I was an E-8 when I yet left, yes.
You got up, you rose up the ranks pretty quick.
14 years.
But didn't stay quite long enough to get any retirement out of that, did you?
No, not quite long enough.
So what'd you do after that? What was your career?
I was an insurance agent down in Missouri, and then I got transferred up here as a sales manager for American Family Insurance, a district that they were ready to write off. And when I left, it's the biggest district in the company. Four of the top 4,000 agents in the company were in my district. We were the most productive district. Very, very proud of the guys we had.
And you're smiling. You must have had a lot to do with that.
I was the district manager. I recruited them all.
There you go. Now, Mel, how many years ago did you retire?
11 years ago, July 1st, 2003.
Okay. And we want to talk about toys today. Somewhere back in there, what, 25 years ago, you started making some toys out of wood?
We're celebrating our 25th year right now, and we officially were incorporated in 1990. I made a toy for my grandkid, and then my other grandkids wanted it. You can't give away something you've already given away, so I had to make some more. Lined them all up on the workbench. It was Christmas time. The kids came over. They inspected every one of them. I don't know what they were looking for, but there were 7 trucks on that bench. And finally, they each picked the truck they wanted. And now I got 5 left. As I said, it's Christmas time. So I said, what do I do with the 5? And they shrugged their little shoulders. They didn't know. They didn't care. They had theirs. So I said, do you have any friends? And I didn't quit that sentence when all 5 of them were gone. So that sort of led to it.
That was the first year. Now, can you describe these trucks to me? This is all made out of wood.
They're all made mostly out of hardwoods, oak, maple, walnut, cherry, those kinds of things. We make a few things out of softwood, but the standard is that they got to be good enough for my grandkids or they're not going out the door. And I hear that every once in a while from the guys in the shop. They'll say, you think your grandkid will like this, you know, or is this good enough or whatever. But we give them to less fortunate kids. And these kids that we give them to don't really have a lot in life. And when they get one of our toys, I want them to feel that somebody out there really cares about them. And that they're proud of what they got. It isn't something they're going to hide in their closet or whatever that they'll take out and play with.
Well, Mel, you showed us some of these earlier today, and they're beautiful handmade wooden toys. And for our listeners, if they want to view them, you just have to go to tlctoys.org, and you'll see all kinds of them. But this was back in 1990, and you were just making a few trucks for your grandkids. What happened?
I'm not quite sure what happened, but it sort of grew. I recruited some seniors because I don't like to paint. I tell everybody I get hives when I get near paint. So I needed some help painting, and I recruited some seniors from the Blaine Senior Center who jumped right in there, was helping, and then people are saying, well, develop another toy and develop another toy. To date, we've developed 84 different toys, and one thing just leads to another. I've designed most of them. We've got some of I got 18 toy makers. And they're always getting their 2 cents in, and some of them are worth listening to, and Some of them are just nice conversation, you know, but they've helped develop some of them too.
We're speaking to Mel Hartman, who founded and started TLCtoys.org and MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Well, let's go back to that. That first year, there were just a few toys. What happened the second year?
Well, the first year, we had a motivation, and that was a gentleman from Iowa brought up a pickup load of toys for the needy kids in Minneapolis. First off, I don't like the word needy. And if he just brought one pickup, I could do two. Well, we actually did 1,554 toys our very first year.
And what did your wife think of that, Mel?
Well, at that point, she wasn't concerned because it was the first year and wasn't taking over the job. And I still had a full-time job. So,
and you were doing all of this at your home?
Still do it all at my home.
Today?
Today, 25 years later.
And you're still married?
57 years. And she's a very patient woman. And an extremely neat housekeeper and a good cook. So I'm not allowed in the house with anything resembling sawdust near or on me. So we've solved that problem.
Just so that the listeners can catch up, how many toys did you make last year?
Last year we distributed, I don't count what we make, we distributed 30,327 toys.
Well, did you ever dream that you were going to be doing this at this level?
Never. Not even my wildest dreams. You know?
Would have been a nightmare, wouldn't it?
Yes, at that point it would have been. But we've evolved into it, and I got guys telling me, well, wait till we hit 50. They're talking thousands, okay? And maybe we will. Who knows?
I was going to say, if they were waiting until you reached 50 years old, you're kind of past that a little bit.
I'm 76.
Had made 30,000, gave away, distributed 30,000 toys last year.
Yes.
Mel, when did you start working with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program?
Probably started with them about 4 or 5 years ago. In 2012 was our big year for working with them. We distributed to them in various programs they have a little over 9,000 toys.
It sounds to me like you met Annette Kuiper, and she said, I can distribute some of these toys, and you went to work.
I'm not sure what the lady's name was, but I dealt with several ladies. One lady I was really surprised at and proud of, she used to call me when a wounded warrior was coming into town. And I would ask her for the gender and the age of the child, and she'd give it to me. She would give me the information I needed for their children, and we'd pick out an appropriate toy. Well, one day she got caught off guard, and flight was coming into Chicago, and she didn't have much of a notice. So she called me up. We met at the warehouse. She had a list. We loaded up her minivan, and that lady took off for Chicago. And she did all of this in less than 24 hours. So I was sort of proud of that lady. Sort of proud of what we were able to help, too.
How many toys did she take?
She didn't have quite that many, probably 50. What we were doing was if a soldier came home wounded and they came from Germany and then they went into this field near Chicago someplace, then they were, I guess the right word is, distributed to the areas where they needed specific care, and she would meet them there. And she wanted them to be able to give their kids a toy to sort of, quote unquote, get their minds off of daddy's wounds or injuries. And I was just proud to be part of that.
A wonderful thing to do. Mel, we have to take a short break, and we come back. We'll talk a little more with Mel Hartman from TLCtoys.org. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking today with Mel Hartman from TLCtoys.org. And Mel, 25 years of making toys. How many toys do you figure you've made through the end of last year?
The last year?
Distributed.
As of the end of last year, we've distributed 313,000 toys. This year is still in progress, and we'll probably hit it again 25 to 30,000.
That's just amazing, Mel. And you're doing this all from your home?
All from my home, yes.
Well, lots of volunteers, and TLC stands for Tender Loving Care. If they're not good enough for your grandchildren, they don't go out the door.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Well, I was looking at your website, tlctoys.org, and there's two pages of charities that have received toys. Lots of military charities, lots of just civilian charities. I mean, this is a who's who of charities. I've never seen a list like this. It's amazing.
And it grows every year. We've got four new ones this year to add to that list. The year's not over. We'll probably end up just under 200 charities. Anybody that deals with less fortunate kids is who we're after.
And Mel, your wife must have to answer the phone calls on some of this stuff, doesn't she?
No, we have two lines coming into the house. I told you, I've been married 57 years.
Then you ought to stay that way.
I'm line one, she's line two.
So do you answer all these calls?
Yes, or they go to voicemail.
Well, that's a lot of charities, and you had another page on your website that showed some sponsors. I was going to ask you, now, all of those toys, all the wood, all the parts, all the paint, how in the heck do you pay for all of that?
Well, we couldn't do this without a lot of sponsors to start with. And we pay for it by grants from individuals. Individuals just give us money. The Lions Clubs, Rotary Clubs have given us money. We have a golf tournament that gives us money. Our budget is about $80,000 to $100,000 a year. All our wood is donated. There's a company up in St. Cloud called Woodcraft. There's several other lumber companies. One lumber company, Cywick, sent me two 53-foot semi-loads.
And you put all this wood at your house?
No, we have a warehouse, 7,400 square feet, that up until about a month ago, you could not walk up and down the aisle. You could just walk up and down the aisles. We have a forklift that could not get up and down. Now that the toys are going out, and we're starting to create some space. By Christmas time, there'll be plenty of space. And in January, we'll start filling it back up.
Fill it right back up. This is amazing. How long are you going to keep going, Mel?
Long as the good Lord willing.
Well, he looks like he's taking pretty good care of you, so you're going to go for a while.
Somebody is, yes.
Mel, what can our listeners do to help?
Well, we can always use volunteers, and needless to say, like any charity, we can always use cash. Like I said, depending on a year, it'll be $80,000 to $100,000. We've got to pay for the warehouse. We have to buy doll bodies. We got a doll program for little girls, and they cost me up to $6 a piece, and we'll deliver about $4,000. I got ladies making doll clothes from coast to coast, California to New York and all over Minnesota. And they make beautiful outfits. I have a lady who is just as adamant as I am about quality. She runs our doll program. And if a doll outfit comes in and we don't like it, it's file 13.
So, folks, I urge you to go take a look at the website, tlctoys.org. There's pictures of all of the toys that he makes. It's an incredible website. And Mel, you sound like you're a district manager again. You're managing this whole activity on behalf of youngsters that need a toy.
And I'm glad to help them. The world's been good to me. I'm giving the kids something back.
Now, Mel, you were showing me before we went on the air that you had a new product.
Yes, we do. One of my gentlemen down in Prior Lake, his name is John Anderson. He has a son in the Navy. And the son got some challenge coins, and he was talking to Dad about it, and he was going to buy a coin holder. And he told Dad these coin holders are $49 a piece. And Dad says, no, they're not. We're going to make them for you. So we make coin holders. They're three-tiered. The smallest one's about 5 inches wide, holds about 5 coins on the three different levels. And those are free to any military personnel that has coins. All they got to do is contact John Anderson.
And they can contact you through your website, TLCToys.org.
You can contact me through the website. The recipient has to pay the postage, but we'll provide the coin holder.
And you said the smaller one was 5 inches, 5 coins. How big is the big one?
I'm not sure. It's probably 15 to 18 inches. You get beyond that, it gets pretty cumbersome.
Mel, we've just got about 30 seconds left. You've done an amazing job for all these years, and you're still going strong. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I don't think so. No.
Lamel, then I will. You're doing a fantastic job. I think you're doing the work that the Lord probably told you, whispered in your ear and said, Mel, share this with everybody. Okay. And to help over 300,000 kids get a toy and something that'll hold up and be sturdy like you're doing a fantastic job. And I want to thank you on behalf of all of those kids.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Mel Hartman from TLCToys.org on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. It's great to be with you again.
Good to talk to you, sir. And I understand that you were doing something recently where you had to say, let's play hockey.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, and I know you like to poke fun at me, but... Yeah, so, you know, we talked last time about the great things that we were doing on Veterans Day, and I talked to you about the Medal of Honor winner, Sal Junta. Well, since then, many of our professional sports organizations in the Twin Cities area held their own appreciation for our military. And so, yes, at the Wild game, I was fortunate enough to be the guy that does the let's play hockey call. And, of course, there were technical difficulties. It's going to happen to somebody. It happened to me. But rest assured, Tom, that once the microphone was fixed, I was able to complete the call, and they were able to drop the puck and actually play a great game that night and pull out a victory. So what the Wild did was they had service members up and down the aisleways. They were there in uniform for the national anthem. They recognized, of course, soldiers and airmen throughout the game. And it was just a great tribute to our service members and all branches of the military. And so that was what the Wild did. The Timberwolves did the exact same thing as far as recognizing our service members. And the great thing about that game was they had the kids of service members on the court along with their parent or whatever it is, they're the serving member, and they held a flag on the center court for the national anthem. And then a special treat for the kids, they got to line up the tunnels for the first quarter entry of the Wolves, and then the third quarter entry of the Wolves. They lined up the tunnels and gave all the players high fives as they came running out. So what a great treat for the kids of our service members. And then lastly, the Vikings. During halftime, they recognized our 114th Trans Company that just got back from Afghanistan. They recognized some World War II veterans, and then again had tribute throughout the entire game to many countless service members in all branches of military. Just great, great events, and really appreciate what our professional sports teams have shown as far as support in conjunction with Veterans Days and military appreciation. And then this weekend, Tom, I'm going over to the Mall of America where I'll be celebrating with them. It's called Holiday for Heroes. It's an event where they're going to provide breakfast to our service members and their family members. They're going to give wristbands out for them so they can enjoy some rides. They'll have resources available. They're going to have over 20 nonprofits there on site to provide families with information, resources. And then they will have a program where, you know, the Adjutant General, actually, Major General Rick Nash, our Adjutant General, will be speaking to all those in attendance. So just great, great things going on, and looking forward to the events this weekend as well.
Should be a great event, Sergeant Major. We've only got about 30 seconds left, and I know that we talked to Captain Vang earlier on the show today. He was deployed to Egypt, and we have people in the 34th Cab over in Kuwait. We've got soldiers and airmen all over the world during the holidays, and these events back here for the families are great, but I'm sure you and everyone else is thinking about all of the troops deployed as well.
Yeah, we absolutely are, and, you know, I just ask that everybody keeps them, because I know I do keep them in my thoughts and prayers, and I just, you know, like to send out a happy holidays wish to all of our service members deployed and throughout all of the country, and just ask they all be safe, and we look forward to having them all home real soon.
Sergeant Major, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I don't know where you got the idea that I like to poke a little fun.
Well, I think I know you a little well, Tom.
Well, Sergeant Major, I hope you have a great Christmas holiday as well, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Tom. You take care.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We have a couple of announcements today. The first is about the 88th Army Reserve Reunion at Fort Snelling. To all 88th soldiers, families, and federal civilians that would like to take part in this reunion celebration for the 88th Army Reserve Command, 68 to 96, 88th Regional Support Command, 1996 to 2003, 88th Regional Readiness Command, 2003 to 2005, and all units under these commands, please save the dates and spread the word about the Army Reserve Reunion, which will be held 15, 16, and 17 May 2015. And we'll run an announcement on that again later. And then one more thing. We got a message from Camp Gratitude. Just to remind you, it's Christmas time, and it's not too early to reserve a free week at Camp Gratitude for 2015 for military families. Application and additional information are available at their website, campgratitude.org, and they wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Captain Jonathan Vang, Mel Hartman, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we discover the hidden benefits of hiring veterans and get an update from our Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.